What's happening now is unprecedented in Earth's history.
Why would we want to disrupt something that took billions of years to evolve?
We need to fight it on all fronts.
I think it's dawning on us now that this is the big one.
OPS is a group I formed. It uses covert operations to expose harmed endangered species.
We're doing an order here. One bottle cam.
Right there's the lens.
Two buttonhole cameras.
Check one, two.
Oh, that's good.
Just about everything endangered in the world is for sale in China.
Look at this stuff. Endangered, highly endangered, highly endangered.
The more illegal it is, the more you have to go to the back rooms.
We're definitely not welcome here.
Oh my gosh.
There's things going on that are probably not safe to talk about.
Climate is controlled by the ocean.
And we're dumping so much carbon in the oceans, it can't take it anymore.
We found this guy, Mr. Lee.
He's culling and processing whale sharks.
Nobody'd ever gotten a camera in there before.
We run into people with badges and uniforms, strip off all
this stuff,
throw it over a wall.
Is it a basking shark oil?
Jesus. This world is absolutely insane. Wildlife trade is second only to the drug market in the world. It's that lucrative. We need a getaway driver.
And I knew one of the best.
I love it.
To create a heist, to hijack the world's attention.
I think we want to put in an order for a car today.
Excellent, we'll take one.
Blow the lid off this place, right?
There's been 5 major extinctions in the history of the planet.
This may be the 6th.
When you're talking about losing
Koopa.
All of nature, it's not a spectator sport anymore. Everybody has to become active somehow. The idea is to inspire people.
Imagery is very powerful.
If you can reach people, you can change them.
We can make this happen. We need people to understand it's worth doing.
People that have been in the business that don't even bother.
But better to light one candle than curse the darkness. There's so many people who sit back and say we're screwed. But you know what? That one candle, maybe someone else with a candle will find you. And I think that's where movements are started.
All right, what's up? Chat, hello. That's such a good trailer. Darst tip $4, Koopa with $100, Tipsy Nomad with $50, and Ron John with $20. Thank you so much. Today's a big one, folks. If you recognize that trailer or you recognize anyone in it, that's because we watched Racing Extinction on the 10th for the Big Alveus, or during the Big Alveus stream. Today, we are lucky enough to talk to the director of that film, Luis Sujoyes. He's an Academy Award-winning filmmaker, and he's the executive director of the Oceanic Preservation Society. Danza, thank you for the $25. So OPS is where your donations are going today. We're at $199. Oh, no, we're not. We're at more than that. Conch with $26. Lazy with $10 and Warber with $20. Thank you so much. How many times did you practice that surname before stream? I'm not gonna lie to you. I wrote it down phonetically right there and I looked at it when I said it. you caught me, okay? Nice. So Louis is super, super accomplished, right? He's an Academy Award-winning filmmaker. If you guys have ever heard of The Cove, it won an Academy Award for Best Documentary Film of 2009. It also received 75 different awards around the world. In addition to that, then Louis's second film was Racing Extinction. That's the film that we watched together. And Louis has also been a photographer for National Geographic for 18 years. Choke, thank you for the sub. Thank you guys for the subs. He is recognized as one of the top still photographers in the world. Fortune magazine recognized him as one of the top 10 photographers in the world. Adam, thank you for the $20. Monkaroo, thank you for the $100. Louis is the CEO and the executive director of the Oceanic Preservation Society. Let me tell you guys a little bit more about that organization because that's where your donations are going. Monka, thank you for the $100. And Lizard King with the $100 as well. Thank you. The Oceanic Preservation Society, they inspire, empower, and connect a global community using high-impact films and visual storytelling to expose the most critical issues facing our planet. Cal, thank you for the $20. It's a super, super passionate, creative group of people that are exposing some of the brutal truths of our world to protect the planet, in particular, to protect our oceans. So that's where your donations are going. I will have Louie tell you guys more about this organization, about where your donations are going specifically. Babyface Johnny, thank you for the $25. What's up? If you guys are new to the podcast, which I don't think many of you are, but if you're new here, welcome to the Conservation Cast. Hooray! Episode 60. Is episode 60? Yes? That's big. Yes! Nice! That's cool. All right, 60th episode here. There will be a quiz at the end of the podcast. That's kind of a new thing. Slowpoke with $123. The quiz is not new. But we didn't start with the quiz. A Zippy with the $20. Thank you. The way that the quiz works is it's based off my conversation with Louie, throughout the podcast. Chuck writes those questions throughout the podcast, and then at the end it's 5 questions. There are 20 seconds to answer each question, but you don't want to take the whole 20 seconds because you get the most points by getting the questions right and getting them right quickly. Doris, thank you for the $50. Holy cow, $723.19 already. That's insane. Thank you so much. So if you win the quiz, if you're not already subbed to my channel, I will gift you a sub to my channel. If you are already subbed, then you get gifted a sub anywhere else on Twitch, or you can ask me to donate an additional $5 to OPS today. What else do I have to tell you about? If you have a question for Louie today, that's... this is a pretty cool opportunity for all of us, guys. This is like a really, really special guest. It is quite an honor to have him on this podcast. If you have questions for him, you can do hashtag ask followed by your question. Alec, thank you for the $5. And, I will get those questions, or I'll receive those questions and I'll be able to relay them to Louie. I think that's all I have to say. Again, I don't think that we'll do a poll today. I mean, it's okay. We won't do a poll today. Am I missing anything? Your donations are going straight to OPS, if I didn't already make that clear. Their PayPal is linked up, so it is making a donation straight to their org. Take notes, there's quiz. True. Poll. Pog. Yes. All right. All right, I think that's it. I started the intro a little bit early because I have to get offline at 3:30 today. So we are on track here. But without further ado, I will be back with Louie. Sit tight. I gotta open a few things. Get things sorted. It'll be less than a minute. Okay, see you in a bit. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good, good, good.
All right. Could you do me a favor and turn your video on? I think it was just on, and then it turned off.
Okay.
There you go. You're good.
Oh, that's right. I can't see you. That's right.
Right, yeah. But they can see both of us. Let me just fix my camera. Here we go. Okay. Now we're all set up. Thank you. All right. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I did a short intro of myself, but we're all super, super excited to have you here. We've already raised $728.19.
Whoa!
just in that intro. So if you would like to do your own introduction of yourself and tell us a little bit about OPS, that would be awesome.
Yeah, my name is Luis Ahoyas. I'm the executive director of an organization called the Oceanic Preservation Society. And I'm also director of documentary films, The Cove, Racing Extinction, and more recently, The Game Changers.
That's awesome. Can you tell us, so what, I gave an introduction at the beginning, but what does Oceanic Preservation Society do?
We try to scale social change on big issues like, I'd say, animal rights, food justice, species extinction, compassion. Right now we're doing a film with the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu, who are best friends. They're both Nobel laureates. And we had them in about, our team was in Dharamsala, India for about 4.5 days with them, talking about what it means to be human. You know, how do you find joy in a world full of sorrow?
Wow.
So, you know, films to me are the most powerful weapon that we have for social change, especially for somebody like yourself or for me, where, you know, you can give a voice and, you know, to your thoughts to, and for other species. It's a really, really powerful weapon. You know, I call it the most powerful weapon in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. They were super inspired. My community and I watched Racing Extinction, and they absolutely love that film. It's so good. We watched the trailer at the beginning of this too. But where was your inspiration for that? Can you tell us a little bit about how all that started?
Sure. You know, I was a photographer for National Geographic for about 18 years, mm-hmm. over the course of about 18 years. And I did 4 stories on them for the Mesozoic, the midlife of the planet, the age of dinosaurs. And I remember I was talking to Michael Novacek, the American, provost of paleontologist for the American Museum of Natural History in New York. Mm-hmm. And we were in the Gobi Desert, and there was dinosaurs everywhere, you know, laid out, unlike a lot of other places you look for dinosaurs, where there were like tip of the nose to the tip of the tail. Mm-hmm. Very extraordinary. I said, like, what killed all these animals? And he said, well, we don't know. It could have been a dust storm. But he said, you know, we're going through a mass extinction right now in this epoch that we're in. And I thought, you know, it just put a shock through me that, you know, when you look at, you know, whatever killed the dinosaurs 66 million years ago, meteorite, that's been pretty much determined. Mm-hmm. But that's like a, you know, external forces. But he said humanity, Michael Novacek said the humanity is now the asteroid.
Right.
And I thought this is like the most, this is the most important story in the world, mm-hmm. bar none. You know, everything else pales in comparison that we're losing all these species. The more I dived into it, I found out that like E.O. Wilson, who's one of the guys that coined the term biodiversity, he's, you know, in, I believe in his 90s now, he was saying that by the end of the century, we could lose half the species on the planet. So for me, this was like a wake-up call to put all my energies into doing what I could to activate the current generation living on the planet now, mm-hmm. to try to, if not halt the Anthropocene, but just shock its impact, because we're doing what no other wild animal will do right now. We're following our own nest.
Right.
You know, I was just reading a book that Bill Gates wrote on, you know, solve the climate crisis.
Yeah.
He's talking matter-of-factly about how we're going to lose the coral reefs.
Mm-hmm.
There's 25% of the species in the oceans live on coral reefs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you know, what's going on. There's a, you know, a catastrophe. But, you know, here's the thing. It's like, you know, I'm my job is not to just alert people about the catastrophe that's going on. I think a lot of people have almost compassion fatigue, like there's too much going on.
Right.
But I really feel we can do things about it. Like the first film we did, The Cove, which is about dolphin hunting in Japan. It was the first film we've ever done. And you know, I was just hoping that we get the film out there, that we could alert people that this is going on and we'd have a chance at stopping it. At the time, they were killing about 23,000 dolphins and porpoises every year for human consumption. They were eating them. Mm-hmm. They were force feeding them in schools. And force feeding sounds like a strong word, but Japan, you have to eat everything on the plate, on your plate. Mm-hmm. So at school, if you were served a pilot whale, which is a dolphin,
right.
Even though the meat was toxic, you had to eat it. So they were being force fed poison. Mm-hmm. Now, because of that film and the activism around it, I think about 2 years ago, the last figures I have, they killed about 1,610 dolphins. So it's like over a 93% drop in dolphin deaths,
right,
for human consumption because of the activism around that film. So films are really, again, they're really powerful. And the second film that we did, Racing Extinction, I thought, well, let's try to, you know, bring attention to this, you know, this huge problem and see what we can do to stop it. And we know that, you know, there's some really good science that shows to create a tipping point in our culture, you don't need 51% of the population, you only need 10%. 10% of the population, 100% committed, mm-hmm, to solving an issue is the tipping point. And they ran the models with the suffragette movement, you know, allowing women to vote, mm-hmm, back in the, you know, the early 1900s, the civil rights movement, the Arab Spring. And that gives me hope that you don't need to convert everyone, just 10%. Once a big truth like that becomes apparent, then you get to a 30% number, and then that hockey stick curve gets, you know, just, it's unstoppable.
That's, now, if you look at, that's really cool.
Yeah, no, it is, and it gives hope. You know, I've been on the environmental movement front for quite a while. You know, I had a 2002 electric car. It was called a Toyota RAV. It was a fully electric car, uh-huh, and it was run by solar panels on my roof. And we were nuts, you know, back in the early 2000s, people were saying, you know, it's alternative energy. It's just a, you know, it's a pipe dream. You know, electric cars are never going to take off. And now you look at it and it's like, you know, Tesla's now the most valuable car company in the world. All the other majors are, you know, now saying that they're going to turn completely electric, you know, in the next decade. So these revolutions, especially technological revolutions, only take about 10 years.
Right.
It's like wildfire.
Yeah, that's awesome. Vaytip, $77.77. Thank you, Alec, with $5. Doors with $50. So we're at $805.96. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And there are lots of questions that have come in. I'm trying to find one that's a good segue, but one that's been asked a couple times is, how did you make the transition from magazine photography to environmental filmmaking?
A good friend of mine was Jim Clark. He's the guy that started, he was the Steve Jobs of my generation. He started a company called Silicon Graphics. It was the first 3D graphics engine. It was the first time people using a computer could do games in real time or design anything on a computer. I was doing a story for National Geographic on the information revolution back in 1993, and I wanted to photograph Jim, but he was too busy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I photographed him for the cover of Fortune magazine about almost 10 years later, not quite. And he was starting a company called, or he's selling a company called Netscape. It was the first commercial internet browser.
Mm-hmm.
I'm describing him as a wealthy guy, but he wasn't. He was born in a trailer court, went to the Navy to avoid prison, I think, or to avoid going to jail. but he's a genius. He's a genius. Just didn't have the right opportunity. And he was starting Shutterfly and WebMD when I met him. And he was a novice photographer. And Jim asked me when I was photographing for the cover of Fortune, he said, would I teach him how to be a good photographer? And I said, Jim, I'll teach you how to be a great photographer if you teach me how to be a billionaire. And we would go around the world and we'd take pictures underwater mainly. That was our passion, Jim and I.
Uh-huh.
And he would say, Louis, I want to take you to the best reef I've ever seen. We'd go to Papua New Guinea. We'd fly to Papua New Guinea. We'd hop on his boat. We'd go diving. He dove on the GPS coordinates. He came back up, and he was nearly crying because the best reef in the world that he'd ever seen had disappeared. It was gone. It was in rubble.
Oh,
we don't,
gosh,
know what happened. It could have been dynamite fishing. Could have been a bleaching event. You know, we weren't there when it happened. We just saw the aftermath. And you know, every time we went to these coral reefs, even if we, over several years and coming back to them again, you could see the degradation going on before your eyes. And the third time we went to the Galapagos, we came up and there were fishermen illegally fishing in a marine sanctuary.
Mm.
And he said, Louis, somebody should do something about this. And I said, Jim, how about you and I? And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, we'll use your money and my eye and we'll make films. Mm-hmm. Now, I had no real right to, you know, I wanted to be a filmmaker, but I was a photographer. They're quite different. Mm-hmm. You know, they're, you know, it's, some people say it's photography at 24 frames a second, but it's much more complicated than that. But I was excited to be, you know, using this really powerful medium to start making films. And I was on vacation with Jim and our family down in the islands. And my son was playing on the beach with another kid, happened to be Steven Spielberg's kid. Now, Steven made Jurassic Park on Jim's computer,
oh
so
my
on
gosh,
graphics.
That's crazy.
He came over to the boat to meet Jim, and father of his son's new friend. And when I had him alone for a few seconds, I said, Mr. Spielberg, do you have any advice for a first-time filmmaker? And he said, yes, never make a movie involving boats or animals. And he said that because of Jaws, right? But you know, I'm starting the Oceanic Preservation Society. Everything I'm doing is going to involve boats and animals.
Yeah.
And the first film we did was The Cove. Mm-hmm. And at The Cove, you know, I'm going to do something for your people here.
Sure,
that'd
be great.
Here. I'm going to give you guys a link for free to see the film.
Oh.
Of the Cove.
Okay, if you want to link it to me in Discord, then I can give it to them.
Okay, we'll do. Yeah, so the first one we did was The Cove, and The Cove became, you know, if you haven't seen it, it's a you know, Rolling Stone magazine said it's like a cross between the Bourne Identity and Flipper.
Mm-hmm.
It became the most winning documentary in history. It won about, you know, over 70 film awards around the world, from Sundance to the Academy Award. And I realized that, you know, that it was after that experience, I thought, well, let's take on the most powerful, you know, the most, you know, the biggest crisis I can think of, the Anthropocene, the sixth mass extinction that's happened in the history of the planet, the one that we're going through right now. And that film, what was exciting about that film, to reach that 10% number, you know, we had to be on a big network. So we went on to Discovery, and I didn't know it at the time, but they were like the biggest, I think they still are the biggest network in the world. They have access to like 2.5 billion people. They did something unprecedented. They released it almost across all their channels on the same day. And in the first 24 hours, over 36 million people had seen the film.
Oh my gosh.
We knew that, you know, I don't know how many people have seen it since, you know, probably close to 100 million,
uh-huh.
but it's pretty far away from that 100 million or that 10% of the population number that we needed.
Right.
So one thing, you know, just I wanted to tell your viewers that have seen Racing Extinction, that was one of the inspirations for doing projections of endangered species on the Empire State Building. Mm-hmm. We thought, you know, the film can only get you so far, but the projections will be like a beacon to the world. If you put it, you know, the endangered creatures on one of the most iconic buildings in the world, you have a chance of reaching the media. And we had, I remember our, you know, the producers over at Discovery said, oh, it's going to cost too much money, Louie. I said, don't worry, I'll find the money. We're going to do this. I put, you know, our own money into it, my own money on into it. Because to me, it's really, really, really important. And they said, well, it's going to be on a Saturday night in New York in the summer. The important people are going to be over in the Hamptons, or they'll be over in Europe. The media won't be able to show up because they'll have to, you know, the projections start at like late at night at like 9 o'clock when it starts to get dark.
Mm-hmm.
He said it'll be a non-event. You know, and I remember we had 939 million media views by Thursday. We did this on Saturday night.
That's amazing.
And it was the top trending story on Facebook and Twitter for 4 days worldwide. And I thought, you know, we got this that 10% number. We can't do any better than that. And then the Pope called.
Oh my gosh! The Pope, what the heck?
The Pope wanted us. And can I share with you this video that we did of that
Please,
event?
Please, yes, yeah. While you were talking about that, I had some of those images on the Empire State Building, so they could see what you were talking about. So I can play whatever you want.
Okay. Well, see, I am. It says share a screen.
Oh, sure, that works.
And
too.
I don't know. I don't know how to do it from here. It's not that obvious to me. How do I do that?
So
click share screen.
Yeah, you click share screen, and then you click one of the applications or screens that you want to share.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to send the link on
too.
Discord. Then you can play it.
Great.
I think that might be easier. And then we had, I think there was 225,000 people in St. Peter's Square that saw it live. There was 600 media there. And we had 4.4 billion media views just in the English language.
Billion.
So,
holy cow.
Billion. Yeah. So, and I want to tell you something really exciting that we're working on. Okay. So I'm going to, I hope.
We've had lots of donations come in too. I'll just read them out really quick. My alert feed is lagging. Because of them. Tipsy Nomad tipped $104. Sneaky with $200. Koopa with $100.
Wow.
Ryder with $20. Skur with $20. Zass with $50. And then Alec with another $45. So we've crossed our 1K goal. So we're at $1,344.99. Excuse me. So thank you guys so much for those donations. That's amazing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. I had no idea it was going to be like this. I thought it was a podcast cover. So this is...
Yeah, it's a podcast and a fundraiser. So they're able to ask questions live, and then they're also able to donate straight.
As we're talking, I'm not trying to be too distracted to figure out how to send that Vatican thing to you, but it's really pretty exciting when you see this crazy dream come alive. You know, because remember these things. Like your sanctuary, it's an idea that's in your head, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, God, I'm just a dreamer. This is all Pollyanna. You know, am I crazy?
Right.
And then when you see it happen, it's like, oh my God! You know, you can take an idea, you can take a feeling that you want to project to other people, and it can come across. It somehow transfers through this miracle of computers to affect people, you know, very profoundly. You know, that those projections we did on the Empire State Building and around the country, they led to some of the most stringent laws that we have to protect endangered species.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we have a West Coast firewall that prevents the most endangered species from being trafficked from other parts of the world and through Western United States right now because of the projections. And by the way, because of a lot of other organizations that were working with us on that, you know, the Humane Society was really, you know, incredibly helpful. But, you know, on my organization, there's five people.
Mm-hmm.
There's five people that get paychecks. We're not a big organization. It sounds, we have like, I think like about 1.5 million people that are, you know, through Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and newsletters. We have a pretty sizable, but it's really just a few people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that wonderful, you know, saying by Margaret Mead, the anthropologist, who said, never doubt that a few thoughtful citizens can change the world.
Mm-hmm.
Need is the only thing that ever has. And we find that it's, you know, time and time again, it's usually people, you know, like yourself or, you know, people that are running these organizations. So it really just starts with one person with a dream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing happens but first a dream.
Right. Absolutely. Keep on looking. SJ, thank you for the 20, and Doris with 50, and Fen with $10. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
And thank you guys for your questions. If you have questions that you'd like me to ask sometime through the podcast, you can use the bot. So just hashtag ask followed by your question, and I will see them. There have been a couple that have come through already. Kaz, thank you for the $29.76. And then,
I'm gonna send that one.
Perfect. And then next, Dexter, thank you for the $10. Amazing. And beginning with the $10. Thank you. Very cool. Have you ever done anything involving Twitch before?
No. With you. This is, I had to sign up because of you.
Yeah, that's what I figured. I appreciate it. Resmos, thank you for the $25. It's traditionally for gaming. It's video games and stuff, but. It's worked really great for my purpose as well.
Well, this is like a video game, but you know, in this case, we're saving the planet.
There you go.
I just sent you a link. Can you play it from your end?
Yes.
That Vatican.
Yes, I can.
Okay, great.
All right. Here we go. Do you want me to play it with audio too, or?
Oh, please. Yeah.
Okay.
And by the way, this was, we did this for the Pope in 2015, right before it was the week of the COP21 in Paris, when world leaders were getting together to decide the fate of the planet by limiting carbon in the atmosphere. And Pope Francis is named after Saint Francis of Assisi, the patron saint of animals. So he wanted to remind world leaders that there was more at stake than just humanity. So that's why he had us do this.
Nice. Okay. Beginning, thank you for the 10. Resmo's with the 25. We've gotten over our $1,500 mark, just so you know. But I will, I'm going to play this video. It's a minute and 10 seconds, so I'll give you the okay when it's done, because you won't be able to hear it or see it on your end. Okay. All right. That has to be the coolest thing I've ever seen. That's amazing.
It was pretty, thank you. Thank you. You know, a big team assembled that. I was a creative director for that. But yeah, that was mostly a lot of friends of mine that worked at National Geographic. I just pulled in a lot of favors and said, hey, can you help us out here? And we're actually doing another one, another big event. We haven't really told anybody yet. I could show you a couple pictures, but the United Nations has asked us to do another big projection event. And this time, the UN building is, I'll tell you what, can I send you a picture?
Please, yeah. You keep throwing out these names and I'm just like, what is going on? That is so cool.
Well, we're doing quite a bit. I'm really excited by what we're doing.
Yes,
I think we have a huge opportunity here, mm-hmm. To start, getting to this, like I said before, these big social movements take about 10 years, mm-hmm. right? Like when you look at, it wasn't just electric cars, even the advent of the internal combustion engine, the first car run with an engine, that transformation only took about 10 years. There's a famous picture of the Easter parade that was taken in 1900 on Broadway in New York, looking down the street. In 1900, it was like, all horses, mm-hmm. except for one car. Mm-hmm. And remember, now I don't want to paint a romantic picture of New York being filled with horses. There was 20,000 tons of manure being, dumped onto the street with horses every day, 60,000 gallons of urine. Sailors said that you could smell New York from 6 miles away. Jeez. A lot of disease. You drag the manure and the on the bottom of your shoes into the house, mm-hmm. into the offices, into the schools, a lot of disease. So, this wasn't a romantic period. I had a great grandmother who lived in New York at that period. And she said it was just an awful period. And anyway, so there's another picture that was taken of the Easter parade 13 years later, and it was completely
the opposite.
Changed. Yeah. It was all cars find the horse. Mm-hmm. And, 10 years ago, 13 years ago, about the same amount of time it took to transform New York from horses to cars, 13 years ago was the first iPhone, right? We were typing the number 2 key 6 times to text a capital C.
Right.
and now, we don't move anywhere out of it. You can do these incredible things. And so what I want to do, with these projections, with what we're up to, is to try to create that tipping point so people, start thinking back, well, remember that time that we used to eat animals? Mm-hmm. Remember that time that we were degrading the coral reefs? Remember that? That was old school. That was back then. Mm-hmm. But the key is to try to strike hard and heart strike fast. And what we try to do with these projections, because we can reach so many people, way more than a movie, way more than a magazine article, way more than a podcast, we can reach literally billions of people.
Right.
And now if we can convert those people into becoming activists, even just a little bit, like on the, we're going to do these projections on the United Nations the week before the next COP, COP26 in Glasgow. Mm-hmm. And saving the planet is, and saving species is going to be front and center for us. And we're going to, you know, let me send you the link to, let's see.
Villain tip $50, okay. Joseph with $20, Mac with $10, Jude with $10. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, everybody. Okay, so this is not a, this is just a picture of, it says upload. I guess that's, yeah. Can you see it now? You see Jane Goodall up there, 38 stories
yes.
tall?
Yes, I do. Holy cow. All right, let me show them. Here you go. All right, they're looking at it now.
Okay.
That's
so,
so cool.
So we'll have like, you know, we'll have Jane talking, Greta Thunberg, you know, world leaders. And they'll be, you know, we have that building for 3 days. It'll be like a giant billboard proud on the East River. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the state park on the other side, you know, we can, you know, we have to organize that all. But, you know, you can get hundreds of thousands of people standing there, you know, watching this. And then we'll have like QR codes so that we can engage with the audience so that they can, you know, become activists.
That's so,
so it's
neat.
Very exciting. It's very exciting.
I loved, you know, in the video that we were watching, all the people with their phones out and cameras taking pictures of it, just in absolute awe. That's so cool to see.
You know, the first big projection that we did like that was at the Empire State Building. And we, you know, the Empire State Building
that's
is
quite
at
a start. 30,
it's between 33rd and 34th Street, and we had rented a little space at a bar, on a rooftop bar overlooking that, like on my memory is like 28th Street. And the bar was filled up with, you know, friends and family, and we were, you know, kicking off the event there. And my son came, you know, came to the event, and he said, you know, Dad, there's people out in the street. And I thought he meant people on the street waiting to get into the bar because it was filled up, you know, because there was this big event going on.
Oh.
And he said, no, out in the street, look on the street. And we had stopped, you know, New York, like it was the Easter parade, you know, tens of thousands of people on the street, you know, as people on the rooftops overlooking it.
That's
and
amazing.
I remember there was a, now we were projecting on the south side of the Empire State Building. So, and Fifth Avenue goes the opposite direction. So if you were heading south, you couldn't see the projections, but a taxi driver going down the street, he's looking at everybody looking. And so he stops in the middle of the street at a red light and, you know, he's to look back at what everybody's looking at. And now he gets transfixed because he's seeing, like, you know, gigantic koala bears, you know, 60 stories tall on top of the building. Uh-huh. And the light changes and people behind him are honking. And they're going, uh-huh. And he goes like this, gives them the finger and points.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
But it was just so exciting to take an idea that, you know, our team had collectively and make it a global experience. And that's what we want to do with these projections is right. Get everybody to aware. Because, you know, the most powerful force that we have in the world is other people. When we come together, deciding to do something collectively, we're unstoppable, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we're more powerful than governments. We're more powerful than companies. You know, I think we can, you know, we can change the environment.
Yep.
You know, fluorocarbons is what we were using to refrigerate, you know, our freezers and coolers 20 years ago. And we got together and said, you know what? We're not going to do that anymore. We're not going to destroy the ozone. And we did that, you know, but it takes the world leaders needing to know that there's a constituency, you know, mm-hmm. that they have the support. And so that's what we want to do with this this activation on the UN is create like a billion activists and all of them directing their attention on this next COP and saying climate change is important. There's a lot at stake here. The future of the world is at stake. Mm-hmm. The future of the oceans are at stake. So it's a, and, you know, well, that's one of the things that we're up to.
Well, yeah, that is brilliant. Pano tip $250. Thank you. One peer tip $10. Air with $20. Puffer with $60. Villain with $50. Joseph with $20. Mac with $10. Jude with $10. So We're now at $1,939.75. Thank you guys so much. Would you mind if I asked a couple of the questions that they have sent in?
Please.
Okay, great. So Max asked earlier, is it always dangerous in making these films about exposing illegal animal poaching and being undercover in the black market?
Yes. Very dangerous. You know, the crew and myself were in, you know, great danger of dying. Don't take a look at the cove. You know, when you see that, it was way more scary than it looked. Not just getting hurt. The fishermen, they drink heavily before they even go out and kill the dolphins, mm-hmm. and they all have these big knives that they carry inside of their belts. And you know, in Japan, where this takes place, the cove, they can hold you for 28 days before they even charge you.
So we were facing,
you know, and of course that would cost hundreds of thousands of dollars if, you know, our crew was caught over there. And in China as well, when we were working on Racing Extinction, we were posing as shark oil dealers. We were there to allegedly buy, you know, illegal endangered shark oil, which they were selling by the thousands of tons.
Mm-hmm.
We exposed that group, and I think there were seven illegal operations going on in this town. Because of that, we shut down six of them.
Wow.
It's pretty horrifying. But I just want to talk about one other thing. When we were doing that film, Racing Extinction,
mm-hmm.
We went to Guangzhou, where they had the first SARS outbreak. Of course, we're in the middle of the second one now. That was the first coronavirus. And you go into these markets, they were actually illegal wet markets. Because they were selling animals that they shouldn't be selling. They were selling civet cats and pangolins. Pangolins is the most trafficked. It looks like a kind of armored anteater.
Yes, we've done a pangolin podcast here, so they've seen them.
Okay, yeah. So they have pangolins there. There's something in Chinese culture, and I don't want anybody to feel like I'm, you know, razzing on the, you know, just the Chinese population. But there's something in Chinese culture called Zhenbu. This idea that if you take, you can take the attribute of that animal and eat it, you'll possess that. So the reason that you find bats in the market, which is thought to be the origin of the first coronavirus, is because bats, because they have night vision in China, they eat them because they think that it will give them night vision or cure glaucoma. It's called Zhenbu.
Okay.
And you think, well, that's really crazy. That's a really stupid batshit belief. But that's why the animals are there. That's why bats are there, and their feces or their dripping fluids onto the cages of the animals below them, and it creates these cross fertilization of viruses,
mm-hmm.
and that's why the first coronavirus happened. I hadn't been to Guangzhou, but that was a similar wet market, a similar situation. And you think, well, that's crazy. That's why we're wearing masks. That's why we have trillions of dollars of damage to the economy. That's why we can't see our grandmothers and mothers, and, you know, horrible, horrible things going on. But there's always these viruses going on, and it's because of our use of animals for human consumption.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at the swine flus that killed about 1 million people just about a decade ago, bird flus, you know, these are all, even the common cold, the mumps, these are all animal, because we're using animals as a food supply.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we'll be talking about on these projections is, you know, this idea that we don't need animals to be big, strong, and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did this film called The Game Changers. It's on Netflix right now. And it refutes this idea that you need to be big, strong, and have virility, you need to eat animal products. You know, one of the world's strongest guys by one criteria, carrying more weight further than anybody in human history, is Patrick Baboumian. He carried 1,255 pounds, 10 meters. That's like the weight of a horse. There's a line in the movie where he says, you know, people ask me, you know, how I could get so big, big like a, you know, like an ox without eating meat. And he says, you know, have you ever seen an ox eating, you know, and And Scott Jurek is probably the most accomplished ultra runner in the world. He's run further than any American ever in one day. He ran 165 miles in one day, mm-hmm. and he's fueled by a plant-based diet.
Right.
There's all these star athletes in the world. Lewis Hamilton, the number one Formula One driver in the world. He says it's about having the right fuel in the tank. And that's really a lot of physical work, right? You know, not that I've ever done it. But he says driving a Formula One car, when you go 5 G's around a corner, that's five times your own body weight that's being thrown to the side. And you have to, you know, maneuver this for, you know, hours at a time. Mm-hmm. He's completely plant-based. You look at Tom Brady, you know, one of the old quarterbacks in the league. And, you know, I don't know how many championships he's had now, but he's primarily plant-based.
I didn't know that.
I mean, the list goes on. Yeah, the list goes on. You know, a lot of the number one, one of the number one players, Djokovic, the number one tennis player, one of the, it was until recently.
Uh-huh.
A lot of great plant-based athletes because there's less inflammation. If you go to those, you know, there's five known blue zones in the world. These are places where people live the longest without chronic disease. Now, mm-hmm. I don't know. I imagine that the age of the people on this podcast are like, probably about your age in their 20s. And, you know, when you're in your 20s, you have this whole world ahead of you. You think you're going to live forever. And maybe they'll find a cure for aging. But the fact is that, you know, you don't want to end up like your parents, your grandparents, taking a lot of pills or having these chronic diseases. But there's these five known blue zones in the world. These are places where people live the longest, on average 10 to 12 years longer than the rest of us without chronic disease. And they do it because 95% of their calories come from a whole foods plant-based diet. I don't mean whole foods like the grocery store. I mean whole foods just without, you know, without being processed, the food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm in my early 60s now, and I'm pretty healthy, and I want to stay that way. Mm-hmm. And I want to live, you know, as long as I can without having the same diseases my mom had.
Right.
And if you look at this, I went to Loma Linda. It's the only American blue zone. And this is, it's a town about 70 miles east of LA. And, you know, if you go to the grocery store there, the biggest grocery store, they don't have like a Whole Foods, but they have a Loma Linda market. They don't even sell meat.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, there's milk, but it's in a, you know, it's on the lower part of the case. And that's because half the town is Seventh-day Adventist. You know, I'm not religious myself in that kind of a way, but the Seventh-day Adventists take, you know, when God was supposed to say through Genesis, let the fruit of thy trees be thy meat, they take it literally. And because of this, they live longer, you know, and it's other things besides diet. They, you know, there's a great sense of community. There's a lot of great science that shows if you're love, if you're in service to the community, probably like you are, Maya, and I'm not just saying that. It's like when you're doing something that makes you feel good, when you're doing something that you're passionate about, you're compassionate about, and, you know, whether it's, you know, the animals that you're going to be taking care of or doing a job that where you're in service to other people and you're really, truly more concerned with the other person than yourself, there's science that shows that it physically changes your body. It extends it extends the telomeres. Telomeres are the ends of your DNA that they get shorter when you get older. It's almost, they've always been likened to the telomeres are likened to the plastic end caps on your shoelaces.
Well,
as they get the frame lower, that as the telomeres get lower, your life gets shorter.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows that when you're doing what you love, when you're eating a whole foods plant-based diet, when you're in service to something bigger than you, your telomeres actually grow, they get longer. So, I mean, there's wonderful evidence. Take a look at it. You know, Elizabeth Blackburn, she won the Nobel Peace Prize for her work with telomerase. That's the enzymes on the ends of the DNA.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of great reasons that we should be coming together to show our love and compassion, to think of not just ourselves, but to think of things bigger around you. It makes you feel better. It makes you live longer. You have more friends. You have more. It makes you want to wake up in the morning because you're alive. You're doing what you love to do. We're doing a film right now, or just finishing up. This, in fact, after I get done with this, I have to look at the last final cut.
Oh, wow.
It's with the Dalai Lama. It's with the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu, best friends. They're Nobel Peace Prize winners. But they talk about, you know, what it means to be living with, you know, how to be human, how to find joy in a world of sorrow. So, and to me, it was a bit of a wake up call for me, even at my age, because I kind of, you know, we made the film to be secular, even because they're both religious leaders, of course. Right. The Dalai Lama is the, you know, the head of the Buddhism, Zen Buddhism religion in Tibet. But now, of course, he's in exile because of the Chinese invaded there back in the 1950s. But and then Desmond Tutu was of course one of the leaders of apartheid, the systematic subjugation of Black people in his country. But they both came out of those experiences with the same realization that, you know, it's to find joy, to find lasting joy, you need to be helping others. It's the only thing that makes you feel good. Mm-hmm. And then for me, it just sort of clicked, like, you know, in our culture, we think of success as, you know, money, mm-hmm. power,
right.
You know, a great job, you know, sex, whatever those are. And once you've attained that, it's always a bit of a letdown. Like, I got that job, but it's not so great. Or I got that big raise, but, you know, the money leaves me empty. Or I have that house and it feels kind of empty. And that's because you can't fill it with things outside of you. You have to have, you know, it has to come, the glow has to come from the internal work. And it only happens when you're in service to other people. And I'm sure you feel this when you do your work,
of course.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, of course. That's awesome. Okay, maybe we have time for like one or two more questions here. Sif asked, and I think this is a super, super important question, said, what advice would you give the average person to help with preservation or conservation?
Well, I'd say find out what take what you're good at and see if there's a way to apply it to helping what you're passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first thing is be passionate about what you're pursuing, because if you do that, you'll never have to work again, right? Mm-hmm. Because your life will be transformed from, you know, watching the clock to not having enough hours in the day.
Right.
But yeah, I hope that helps.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love that advice. That reminds me of, there was this, are you familiar with the Diane Fossey Gorilla Fund?
Sure.
Yeah, they just got a lot of attention on this subreddit, the Wall Street Bets. Is it r/Wall Street Bets chat? I don't remember. But their mascot kind of is this gorilla. So they started adopting gorillas through that. And then one of the members of my production team designed a shirt for them. And they've raised like $400,000 in a few days or something. Yeah. Like that. Is it over 4K at this point? Or 400K? It's absolutely incredible. So that, I mean, artists, editors, you know, public speakers, if you're a scientist, that's also, you know, that's one thing, but there's plenty of room for everybody in conservation. I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
Okay. Wonderful. Let me find, that's usually the last question that I ask, because I really like how it like closes up the whole thing. There's about 2,400 people watching. I think you've successfully inspired every single one. This has been so wonderful. Thank you so much. Is there anything else that you'd like to tell us about or that you'd like to close us out with?
No, I think that's it. We'll keep on doing the great work that you're doing. You know, it's wonderful to see the younger generation coming up to, you know, do great work like you're doing.
Thank you.
And thank you so much to all the people that tuned in today and the people that donated. Really appreciate it. Thanks
yes,
so much on
we,
behalf of everybody at OPS. Thank you.
We've had Sneaky also donated 251, Danny with 15, Moncrew with 61. So we're at $2,277.20. And this is hooked up straight to OPS. So you guys have already received those donations.
Thank you so much, Maya. Appreciate it. And thank you for helping out and your community for helping out. I appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you. And I'm glad this was your intro to Twitch. That was awesome. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks.
All right. Good luck
bye
with
bye
all
everybody.
Of your projects.
Thank you.
All right.
Cheers.
Bye. Oh my gosh. I feel that was insane. What the heck? That was crazy. I cannot believe the names he was just, the things he was just throwing out, like, and we're doing this. What do you mean that you're doing that? That's insane. That was so cool. I, like, don't know what to say. And what a fantastic speaker, too. I mean, he lit a fire in me just in the past hour, a fire that I already have, you know, just that all the stuff that they're doing is absolutely incredible. Chateau, thank you for the $25. That was fantastic. We are so lucky that we were able to have Louis on today. We're going to get into the quiz. I know I closed it up like a couple minutes early because I started a couple minutes early because I have to get offline sooner today because I'm signing papers today for the property. Let's see if we have a quiz written up. Yes, we do. Chuck, you're insane. Things are moving, chat. Also, while I am setting up the quiz, we have a very important announcement. It's Danny's birthday. Happy birthday, Danny! Yay! Everybody say happy birthday. Danny has been on the Conservation Cast team, gosh, I don't know how long, and he's my post-production manager both for my channel and for Alveus, or my editor, in simpler words, and he is incredible. Everybody loves Danny. Everybody knows Danny. I don't need to give him a speech. Self-explanatory. All right. Quiz kit. Choose game mode. Points. All right. The way the quiz works. Based off of my conversation today with Louis, 5 questions, 20 seconds per question. I will read the questions aloud to you before they get to you. Make sure you click enable access. If you don't see your name right away, that is A-okay, because it'll pop up hopefully at the end. The quiz kit is a little bit scuffed sometimes, but hopefully it'll work fine. Okay. No, audition is after this. That's also why I have to like run out of here and then get to that. Also, I really messed up because I thought that it was like an interview and it's actually a whole read. Like a script read. And so I spent all day yesterday, like, I've never memorized lines before ever. So that was my bad. I don't know why I didn't think of it like that. It was pretty dumb. Anyway, all right. Is it showing up? Are we ready? I think we're ready. Your quizzes. Chat, are you ready for the quiz? If you win the quiz, if you're not already subbed to my channel, you get a gifted sub to my channel. If you are already subbed, I will gift you a sub to a channel of your choice on Twitch, or you can ask me to do an additional $5 today to OPS. The first question, it's sending you the rules right now. The first question is, how long was Louis a photographer for National Geographic? Something that was said at the very beginning of the podcast. You don't need a link for the quiz. It'll pop up on your screen. You can do command quiz if you want a little bit more instruction, as long as the website doesn't crash. Saying the answer in chat does absolutely nothing. Sorry. Here's the quiz. It should be up. Sneaky, thank you for the $49 again. Is it 8 years, 40 years, 18 years, or 25 years? Might as well get the $500. Sneaky, did you donate $500 today? Oh my gosh. Holy cow, Sneaky Turtle donated $500 today. Thank you. Tyrone, thank you for the sub. All right, the correct answer is 18 years as a photographer for National Geographic. That is insane. That is insane. When I was doing the test call with Louis, I was like, I mentioned that I was doing the audition. He was like, oh, I just got off a phone call with National Geographic right before this. And I was like, oh. All right, question number 2 is, what percentage of the ocean relies on coral reefs? Is it 5%, 25%, 15%, or 20%? I think that this question was phrased meaning what percent of our ocean's creatures live in coral reefs, like depend on them. I forgot to show the scores, I'm sorry. Depend on them as habitat. wild guess on this one. That's fair. It was not brushed over, but it was just a part of the conversation. The correct answer is 25%. 242 people got that correct. Well done. Who got it right the fastest? I'm sorry I didn't see the last time, but we will get to see this time. Reigning Rex. Well done. But I don't know how to... Pet is in the lead, and then Warbur. Warbur's so good at these quizzes. All right. The third question is, during production of The Cove, around 23,000 dolphins and porpoises were killed a year. What is the statistic now of how many are killed per year because of the activism surrounding that film? Is it 26,000, 10,000, 1,600, or 20,000? Aragorn misclicked. The correct answer is about 1,600, which is a fantastic feat. 184 people got that correct. Well done, from 23,000 to 1,600. Thanks, Riz. What up? Troubling statue. These may be, the contestant number blank may be somebody that shows up later. But troubling statue is the one who got that one right the fastest that I can tell. And then Stealthy is in the lead, followed by Dis, followed by Dibs, and then Squid, and then Ivory. Nice. KZ, thank you for the 8 months. All right. Next question. We got two more questions here. What does Louis believe is the tipping point in population for social change? This was a really cool thing that he talked about. Is it 25% of the population? Is it 15%, 50%, or 10%? The correct answer, or the one that Louis talked about on the podcast today, is 10% of that population being 100% committed, was the way that he phrased it, I think. People got that right. Well done. But who got it right the fastest? Amel and Direwolf, what up? Nice. But Stealthy is still in the lead. Squid is climbing. Spinning Squid is climbing. Ivory is climbing as well, coming in third. This is the last question. Is someone going to pull ahead of Stealthy? How long do social movements take according to Louis? All right, this is again, like, just based on our conversation. He mentioned it in our conversation. Did he say 50 years, 100 years, 10 years, or 2 years? Calm, thank you for the 2 months. You have 5 seconds to answer this question. Boingo, what's up? Your name looks so familiar. Why is that? Oh, because you're in lock stream last night. The correct answer is 10 years. People got that correct. Well done. Can we see who got it wrong the fastest? I wish. That'd be funny. just like trigger finger. Ivory. All right. And then Troubling Statue in second, this in fourth. Selfie went down to fifth place. Bernardo in sixth. Derek, oh, thank you for the $10. You can still watch the VOD. Put your place in chat if you're proud of it. If you're not, don't. D Brazer got 135th place, and he is proud of it, and he put it in chat. Tipsy Nomad with $148.80. Thank you so much. All right. Ivory, what do you want? Add five. You got it. All right. $2,510. Hold on, I have to two factor. Leaked code. You can hear it in the keys. Here it is. All right. Jot what? Jot, I don't understand your question. Oh. Yeah, because I haven't opened my Instagram DMs in months. At least weeks. It's been a long time. But I also don't really get them. I pretty much turned it off. I still get some occasionally, and I don't know why. I don't know how that works. Because it's just bugged or something. So sometimes I get them, but it doesn't matter. I don't read them. All right, chat. What a fantastic podcast. Mo, thank you so much. And what an amazing guest. It's so crazy. This is the 60th episode. And the people that we're getting to talk to are just amazing. I mean, I could have never imagined talking to someone with the qualifications of Louie when I started this podcast. I used to freak out when I found a guest that had, like, you know, above 5,000 Twitter followers. I was like, we're making it big, you know? So this is really, really cool. The fact that there are people that reach out to me now that want to be on the podcast and want to see a new audience through me is incredible. I 100% feel underqualified to speak to these people. I don't know if that was clear, but I was super nervous. I also have other things to be nervous about today, right? This audition, whatever. But I feel so underqualified, but it means so much that people think that I'm qualified enough to take that amazing experience and information that my guests have and relay it to you guys and provide a platform where you guys are able to see it and be able to digest it. And I think that's my job and that's where my strength is. And it means a lot that that people think I'm good enough at that to want to be on this podcast. So thank you guys for supporting it. The viewership on these have also, it's also gone up massively since I started. At the beginning, the podcast was getting really close to dropping into the three-digit range. So it means a lot that you guys are here watching. I really, really appreciate it. I have papers to sign today for the property. And then I have the audition today for that National Geographic host role. So wish me luck. It's going to be really, I really don't know. I feel like it's going to be really awkward to just like recite lines on a Skype call, but that's, I guess, just how it works. So we'll see. I don't know. I'll keep you guys posted like I always do. Just to let you know, I think we should be having housewives tomorrow, but I'll need to ask them one more time to make sure that we're doing that. So expect Housewives tomorrow night unless I announce otherwise in my Discord. But then next week, Monday, I'm going to do an IRL. I might have to use my phone. Hearts in chat for Locke because he has had like the worst couple of days with LiveU trying to figure out my backpack because my modems just are not working. So it's possible, it's possible that I'll have my backpack on Monday. It's also possible that I'm going to do it on my phone. Regardless, I'm going to do an IRL. I really got to get out there and hike and just be outside, I think. So Monday's an IRL. I was going to do the merch release on Wednesday, but now I have calls lined up all through Wednesday. So I'm going to do it Thursday instead. So I'll do my Wednesday stream on a Thursday. It'll be at my desktop and I will be dropping the merch on Thursday. So I should have worn it today. That's kind of dumb that I didn't think about it. But, yeah, so it'll be Saturday, Monday, Thursday, Friday. Actually, I don't know if I have a podcast guest lined up for next Friday. Yeah, I think I do. I don't remember. After this month, though, after March, starting in April, here's the deal about the podcast. Since I've started Alveus, I was just going to like roll out of the podcast and just put everything into Alveus. But it's like my baby, you know, and I just don't want to let it go like that. And it's cool that I get to bring people on and give them a platform and that we all get to learn about different things as well. So the podcast is going to start going down to once a month instead of once a week, but it'll still exist. So I haven't talked about that yet, but that's, starting in April, we're going to do that instead of doing every Friday. So I'm sorry. It's a lot for me to, I do all of the coordinating and all of the research. I walk everybody through Discord, you know, like it's a lot, for me to do in addition to running my stream and Alveus. So, doing it once a month is going to be a lot more, a lot easier for me. But we still get the podcast, which is good. So anyway, yeah, they'll still be an hour long, but that's it for today, folks. I am going to raid.